he have a nice, loving nickname?
Does he have a nice, nice, loving nickname? No.
No, nothing?
No.
I think perhaps there's compensation there, ma'am, for a, you know, for a slightly dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, but I understand that. I got one of them, too.
Yeah?
But my parents didn't adopt me and then go out and call me all them names. I just was hoping he had a nice name. You know what I mean?
I don't follow what you're saying. What name has my brother been called that's not nice?
Don't you call him, your parents called him Dumb and...
Right, but yes, my parents called him that.
And, Dirtball?
Well, that's what I...
What you call him?
That's what I call him.
Oh.
But Earth Dog is what you call him, Earth Dog.
Or a Dirtball. You know, it's brother to brother, though. You understand?
So that's cool.
Yeah, right. Right, it's not exactly like a parent telling a child.
Right.
My dad used to say all the time to us that we're damn dummies.
And I'm dumb. And then when we were discussing damn dummies one day, that's when your brother Jim came up with, well, we were also called Dumb.
Right.
And Big Moose. And
you'd be calling Dumb when you'd be having a conversation with your father, and you'd say, he said, don't be an Dumb.
Right. And he'd say to me, you're dumb. He'd say to my brother, you're dumb, but you're stupid.
Yeah, man. There you go.
Yeah, but listen, I love my brother. I give my brother a lot of support, and he gives me a lot of support.
Well, somebody has to, right?
Right.
Right.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Oh, please.
I don't know what the hell her point was.
I don't know.
If she had one.
I don't know. All right, we have to do a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The station with less BS, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
37 minutes after the hour. Good afternoon. You are up next.
Hello.
Yes.
Wait, let me turn down my radio.
Okay, sure.
I'd like to say I came across your program by accident, and this is one of the more informative programs I've ever heard. And I've never called a radio show before, but I was drawn to call on this topic.
Yes. Thank you very much for doing so.
Absolutely, and I think you're an excellent interviewer. No matter who your guest is, you're forcing them to answer the questions that we're all waiting to hear the answers to, and we appreciate that.
Thank you.
What's going on in South America is, of course, relevant to everything that happens in this hemisphere, but I feel that the World Bank is committing acts of ass play when forcing people to eat BM on the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. You know, there is really no telling, is there? I am personally offended by this. Don't do it again. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to. You're gone. You're gone. You're gone. Don't call me again.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's right. I'm coming to your corporate headquarters. My plane gets in at 2, and we'll settle this deodorant thing face to face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right. I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacio.
Be good, or they'll put you in a sack and take you to Spain. The Don and Mike Show.
I got a phone call from Lisa Van Dyke, a lady who worked for a record company a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I knew her like 20 years ago. She called me. You know, and I got flipped out right away because I picked the phone. And I go, hello. And she goes, Don, it's a voice from your past.
Uh-oh.
Like, yeah. Oh, no. You know, hello, paternity suit, right?
Right.
Tell me, how many children do I have? How many extra kids do I have?
Too many.
She says, it's Lisa. He's like, I'm supposed to know who Lisa is.
Right.
I say, okay, Lisa Kudrow, Lisa Simpson.
Bonet.
So finally she tells me who it is. It takes a second for it to register. But rather than just saying, hello, hey, nice to hear you, first thing I said, how did you get this number?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she said, oh, Tommy gave it to her. You know, our friend Tommy.
Tommy, yeah, okay.
So Tommy gave her the phone number. And once I stopped flipping out about the fact that she was calling me, I said, hi. You know, how? 20 years I haven't talked to this woman.
To what do I owe this phone call?
She said, Harv Moore is in town, and he's flying out this morning. He wants to know if you could drop by Dulles, maybe have brunch. And, you know, Harv Moore is the guy that gave me my big, not my break in radio, but he didn't do any of that stuff. He didn't do any of that gladiator stuff with me, Mike.
Harv Moore, the morning man.
But Harv Moore, man, when I was a kid and I was growing up, this guy was it. This guy was the best disc jockey in the world, and he let me come to the radio station on Saturday mornings.
Happy Saturday morning, everyone. This is Hob Moore, the morning mayor. I know there's a little boy driving his orange crate as fast as he can to get to the studio. Little Donnie Geronimo wants you to come up here to the studio. It's a real hot day. And coincidentally, Donnie, our air conditioning has gone out here at the studio, so you'll notice that Hob Moore is all the way down to his skivvies. So
he never did anything like that with me.
And I realize it's going to be sunny later on. Hob Moore is planning on going out to the pool, so put a little suntan lotion on me, Donnie G.
He was just great to me.
Hey, cloudy skies this morning. Don't mess with your hair this morning, girls. Don't bother. You know, leave it up until you get to work this morning because it's going to come out anyway. Becoming partly cloudy later on this afternoon with highs to around 80. The degrees are 67. How do you like the show so far this morning?
I think we're going to have to submerge, Commander.
Hey, the good guys moving with music here at 7:04 in the morning with Hob Moore from WPGC. Number one, the Grovers are here.
So anyway, when I was a kid, this guy was like, right, the biggest thing. And I listened to his show every morning. And first time I was ever on the radio, I called on Hob Moore Request-O-Matic.
Right.
And I requested Layla by Derek and the Dominoes. It was the first time my voice is on the radio. So I would go down to this radio station on Saturday mornings. And, you know, he wouldn't touch me or anything. Because I know that's what you think, but he didn't.
Hob Moore here. Here we go. Suntan lotion in the upper desk drawer there, Donnie.
He would have me do stuff like put the dots on records. He'd say, okay, put the red dots on these records, the blue dots on these records.
No, you're not doing it right. Let me reach over you here. I want you to do it just so.
Listen, the guy could not have been nicer.
So you had brunch with him today?
Yeah, well, you know, he's kind of like my hero. And
Of course. I've met
him a couple of times, and we've had him on this show.
Yeah.
And what was funny was talking to him today, because he was in town all day yesterday seeing some of his relatives, and he listened to our show yesterday. And it's funny to hear his perspective on it.
What did he have to say?
Because he's very nice, very complimentary.
Right.
You know, he said, well, you got all the basics down. Said, you sure do an entertaining show. You don't see the call letters of the time. I said, well, Harv, we're syndicated.
Right.
You know, we're on 60 stations, so we can't give the call letters, and it's different times all over the place.
So we can't tell the time.
Hey, have you ever thought about just saying 12 minutes past the hour? That was his big thing. Time's very important to people.
Yeah.
I said, well, we've kind of given up the time and temperature thing now. And then the other thing is he's going on. He says, oh, you guys are great. You got a great chemistry. You keep all the radio basics there. But what I want to know is, I was listening to yesterday. How can you get away? Things have really changed. And he just rolled his head back. And he, Robbie, you know, he's still got that suntan. Like living in a suntan place now.
Sure.
In one of those tanning booths. The guy's about 60 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a tan like George Hamilton. He throws his head back. He's got these, they got to be fake teeth. They got to be.
I remember when I met him, we were at some promotion in a mall. And he was there, and I remember his teeth more than anything else. You know, hi, how are you? I said, oh, you're Hob Moore? Yeah, I am.
So he throws his head back. He really laughs, starts laughing.
Says,
some of the stuff you, and he said, cats. Some of the stuff you cats are doing on that show.
You cats are really something special.
I can't believe you said fat dick. How can you do that? Because there are really so many guys that are pricks in this business.
And he seemed like a very nice guy when I met him.
Couldn't have been nicer. And, you know, he follows our career. He had followed my career before I worked with you. Now he follows our career.
Right.
He's just like, you know, I can't believe your success. You're in all these markets. I hear you. He lives up in Buffalo now. He says sometimes he can pick us up on a skip from Rochester.
He seemed like a really nice guy. And you had brunch with him at the, was it at the airport hotel?
Shut up.
I've been waiting for you for hours.
Listen,
the brunch downstairs in the dining room is closed, so I've invited you up to my suite.
I told him about that. I said, you know, Mike's got this bit that he does about you and about Captain 20. I said, Mike's got this theory that both of you guys molested me when I was a kid. And, you know, this is where Hob Moore showed his age a little bit because
he didn't like that.
Mike didn't even laugh yet.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's... Hey, I don't know. That's not too funny. Oh, I said, no, it's done. And I laugh at it.
You told him it was certainly lighthearted all the way.
I said, I laugh at it. He said, well, I don't know. How often do you guys do that? I said, well, you know, whenever your name comes. I said, I'm sure when I mention your name today on the show, that's the first thing Mike's going to start doing. Talking about you taking your shirt off and stuff.
I'm really sorry the restaurant seems to be closed, but up here we've got bagels and orange juice. So stop up to my room here. You know the nice thing about this room, Don, now that we're both older, is they give you complimentary robes. So step right in here. Here's yours, please. Here's mine.
Please.
Mine says Hob, yours says Don.
The guy couldn't have been nicer to me.
WPGC.
Quarter after 7, WPGC Chime Time with Brad Harmore. Out at Heinz Shoes, it's summer sale time, you know, and the savings are tremendous.
I used to love this guy's show.
Heinz Shoes stores, Washington, Virginia, and Maryland, even.
WPGC Weather Wardrobe.
Well, what a day. Cloudy skies this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon, with highs to around 80. Partly cloudy tonight and tomorrow, down to 65 tonight. Highs tomorrow around 80.
I know, he's jive. It's just funny.
On the morning show, the weather wardrobe, as sticky and messy as it is, bathing suits and galoshes.
You're looking good.
Speaking of sticky and messy, there's a little boy that's coming over here pedaling like nobody's business. Donnie G, you better get here before the show's over. I'll let you press all the buttons you like to push, and then we'll go out for brunch.
Well,
that's the joke. And Harv, if you're... Well, he's gone.
No,
now,
he's
right?
in the air now. He's not hearing us
okay,
now.
But it's just a joke.
The guy could have been nicer to me. It was, you know, the guy's like my hero.
That's so got
to
be very cool.
I mean, it was nice to sit down, and he was, you know, I talked about how crappy the radio business is now. Yeah, and then I had to sit through his whole big diatribe about...
Right.
Yeah, you know what I worked? One man owned one station. Who you work for now? What's that guy's name? Mel? You right. ever meet with Mel? You know, I said, oh, yes, we meet with Mel. He's a wonderful guy.
Is he still in the business at all? Or
Harv is part owner of a small station outside Buffalo.
Ah, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Small owner of a part owner of a little station. So he's coming back.
Sabres Mania right now with the big Stanley Cup final coming up.
He's going to come back in town in August. And I told him when he comes back in town, I want him to come in.
That's good.
I want him to come out. I want him to get in this third chair and sit down and do the show with us for a
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. I think that would be a wonderful idea.
Well, something flimsy, girls. Harv Moore, the morning man.
I tell you, three's a crowd. Mike, I'd like you to step out of the studio right now if you wouldn't be too uncomfortable about that. And Rob, you too. We'd just like to have a little two-on-two, a little one-on-one, I should say. Ha-ha.
How pathetic I was. I'm talking about all this guy's old bits with him.
Right.
Like I said, when you used to do the Colonel, that would crack me up. This is one of his big bits.
Mm-hmm.
Where he would, it was him.
Right.
Pre-recorded, he'd go, well, son, I say. You know, he would talk to him. He'd go, hey, the Colonel's here. And he'd hit the card and go, I say. And he had a woman on his show called the Redhead.
Ah, the Redhead.
The Redhead. So I said to him, whatever happened to the Redhead? I said, you ever bang the Redhead? And then, again, I'm talking to a 60-year-old man.
That's out of line, Donnie. No, of course not.
He says, no. It was all on the up and up. However, did you ever hear the time? He says, did you ever hear the time? She was driving the WPGC free money car. And she was on the Beltway by Springfield. And she said, Harv, I'm behind a car right now with a WPGC bumper sticker. And she drove the car off the road.
Ah, that's funny.
Yeah,
now, that's my idea of a comedy bit. That's fantastic.
Know.
No, I didn't do the redhead there, Donnie. The only redhead I ever had anything to do with was Carrot Top. Little Carrot Top.
The only thing that even, I mean, it was fantastic.
Right.
There's no doubt the guy is my idol. He's my mentor.
Good for you, and I think that's terrific that you get together with
him. The last thing he says to me, though, he's about to go get on his plane. I said, well, you know, I'm shaking. He's wearing like a Miami Vice jacket. He's had the white jacket and the blue pastel shirt on.
Right.
I say, you know, really great. You don't know what you've meant to Michael. It's really great to see you again. He says, listen, I just want to tell you one thing. You're a very talented man. You know a lot about radio. Your partner seems to be very funny. You have a great chemistry. My advice to you guys, try to work a little cleaner.
Did he really say
that? Yeah. And I said, well, it's a different world now. I said, you know, we do what we have to do to survive.
Right.
And then I really had to bite my tongue when he said, you know, you don't have to do that to make people laugh, though. You really don't. I didn't have to do it.
Hey, more power to him. That's the way he feels.
I said,
you
got
to
okay.
respect that. That's his opinion. That's good. Good for him.
Because he was like, I heard that a tape you have, the announcer comes on and says, God damn it.
Yeah.
I said, yo, that's a regular staple of the show. And he just, like, shook his head.
Here
like,
we are, down in the sewer.
Like, he didn't understand what was going on.
Each and every day, shoveling slime on the Don and Mike show.
My man, Harv Moore, the boy next door.
Good morning, Washington, you good-looking town. This is the boy next door, Harv Moore, WPGC, Good Guys Radio, Tuesday show. Going to be hot and sticky today, girls. Wear something flimsy. Along with the best music, we'll be talking to the Colonel. Orville's going to be here.
Ah, the Colonel.
Here comes Case the Rock.
Oh, and Orville. Orville was another one of his bits. This is where he would, like, talk into a tape, and then he would play the tape back at a faster speed. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like, oh, do you have that, Robbie?
Hi,
all right, here's his great Orville bit.
Oh, good.
Okay, listen to this.
You're pushing too hard on me. 1967, heavy from the seeds at WPGC. Number one, 21 before 8 o'clock in the morning. All right, let's get going. Come on.
WPGC, Good Guys Radio.
Nobody sleeps when I'm on. What is it, Orville? What do you want?
I saw your picture down in the lobby of Lowe's Palace.
Oh, really? You saw my picture?
Now, after seeing your picture, you could never run for president.
I couldn't run for president? Why?
Well, they could never fit your nose on a stamp.
Bada-bing!
There you go.
There he is, Harv Moore, the morning man. I really thoroughly enjoyed our brunch. Now it's time for me to get on my plane. And hey, You don't have to work blue. There's no need for
that's
that.
That's the last thing he said.
See you later, sewer mouth. Time for me to go back to Buffalo.
Back to Buffalo.
Back to Buffalo. You take care, Mr. Buddy Hackett.
Oh, I love that guy. Wow. I swear to God, I do.
That's cool that you had a chance to sit down with him. I think that's great. Yeah.
Good old guy. Kind of pathetic that I drove all the way to Dulles.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
But, you know, what the hell. You know, I let him pay for the brunch.
There, well, and everybody has to have mentors, and it's good to remember, guys. And you know something? I bet he felt pretty damn good about that, too.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's pretty proud of my success.
Outside of the fact that you work blue.
Hello?
You work so damn dirty.
And that's the last thing. I mean, and as he is, the girl has taken his ticket, and he's going to get on the plane. And that's when I was going to get, like, emotional. I said, you know, hey, I really love seeing you. We got, right. When you come back in August, got to have you on. Okay, but let me say, you know, you guys, you're great. You're great chemistry. You're so good at radio. You really don't have to do that to make people laugh.
You don't have to do the crappy stuff. So long. I'm on my plane right now. Oh, I've really enjoyed our brunch together, but let me just leave you with this one thought, okay?
What, Harv?
Don't work so darn blue. Keep it clean, boys. So long, everybody. Morning Mayor getting on his airplane now.
Harv Moore, the Morning Mayor.
Getting on his airplane with a propeller. Flying up on my biplane up to Buffalo.
It wasn't like a Snoopy and the Red Baron plane.
So long, everybody. Where's my leather hat and scarf? Let's go, Eddie Rickenbacker. Take me up.
He's talking to me about all the disc jockeys. Do you remember the lineup we had on PGC back in 72? That was me, Harv Moore, the Morning Mayor. Big Wilson, he did the midday show. Then you had Dave Jones in the afternoon. Jim Collins at night. Oh, and he says to me, he says, did you ever hear about Jim Collins? I said, no, what about Jim Collins? He says, you know those apartments across the street from the old pig? That's WPGC, the old station. See, I worked at that station.
Yep, they called it the pig.
I worked at that very station many years later after Harv Moorhead. So you know that apartment building over there? Well, one day Jim Collins didn't come in for work for his 2 o'clock shift. We went over there. He was nearly OD'd on heroin.
Oh,
I swear to God. I said, I never knew that about Jim Collins.
There we are.
You remember Shelby used to work in the front office? She came into my office. She said, Harv, Jim Collins has passed out in his apartment across the street. We went tearing across 450. That's the highway.
450.
We went into his apartment, and there he was on the floor. He had like little gurgles coming out of his mouth, out of the corner of his mouth.
And we said, hey, better get something flimsy on him right away. Then I hopped into my biplane.
And he told me, a young man, Tiger Bob Rawley.
Tiger Bob.
Tiger Bob. You know, Tiger Bob was kind of weird.
He's a weird guy?
I said, what do you mean he kind of weird? Kind of weird. I think he was implying that maybe Tiger Bob was, you
gay.
Know, a fag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Couldn't find out. And I didn't know this, that Tiger Bob Rawley had a twin brother. He also worked at the radio station.
That was Leopard Bob.
He said, you never heard doing the news in the morning? Greg Rawley, that's Tiger Bob's brother.
So they had two twins?
Two twins, both of them working at the radio station at the same
God.
Time.
Oh, my God. Imagine coming into the radio station and seeing that on your first day. Man, that would scare the pants off of me.
And then I said to him, this last thing I can tell you about this, because I'm like Jethro Tull living in the past. I told him when we moved radio stations from where WPGC used to be in Landover, moved to that new building off the Beltway, right? Mm-hmm. He said, you were there when they made the switch to the new studios, right? And I said, oh, yeah. He said, I really love that old building. That building had some character. And I said, well, you should have been there at the end, because what they did was they moved all the disc jockeys into the studios at the old radio station, and they took all the staff, general manager, secretary, salespeople, they moved them all to the new building.
Right.
So for a month, when the disc jockeys would come into work,
we would walk. Big stack?
Yeah, we would walk into an empty office building. It was one room with a studio, another room with a production room, and all of the other offices were totally vacant. So guys would come in, and they'd be eating a hamburger or something. They'd just throw the garbage on the floor. And then guys started, like, spray painting on the walls. You know, this place is a pigsty.
That's because disc jockeys don't practice good hygiene.
FWPGC. People were writing all kinds of bad things on the wall. And by the time we were 30 days in there, really, you'd walk in there and you'd smell the garbage.
Oh, God.
Because nobody came in to clean it. I'm telling the story. And his face is just dropping.
Oh, really?
I said, yeah, it was awful. I said, guys would leave half-eaten hamburgers right where the receptionist desk was. So there's a huge pile of papers there. Like, disc jockeys would come in on the weekend and drink and bring girls there.
No, that's enough, Don.
Yeah.
That's totally uncalled for. And if you'd please stop your story, you're getting me far too depressed. I'm going to miss my plane.
He didn't like hearing that either.
Oh, how could you do that to our old studios? That's astonishing to me.
The hit pit.
Tiger Bob would hate that. I'll tell you that right now. Time for me to say au revoir, Donnie. And listen, don't work dirty.
Salute the Harv Moore.
Mm-hmm. Good guy.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike.
What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
I was wondering if you guys broadcast any Poughkeepsie, New York.
No, I don't think so.
I spent a lot of time in Poughkeepsie, though.
You ever hear the town called New Paltz?
Yeah, New Paltz, yeah. Mm-hmm. They have the State University of New York at New Paltz.
That's where I want to transfer, bro. I was wondering if I could talk to these guys. I got some good topics. I like to.
What guys would you like to talk to, bro?
What's up?
What guys would you like to talk to?
Don and Mike.
No, they're far too busy to talk to a peon like you.
Really?
Yeah.
What's a PR?
A peon.
Peon.
Come on, bro. Can you put me through?
No, no, bro. They specifically said no guys with attitudes today.
That's right. And no guys that say bro.
All right, I apologize. I don't have an attitude.
Well, sorry, bro. I can't put you through to them.
You know, what you want to work on the next time you call, and, you know, in a long time, hopefully, is not the bro.
Gotcha, Chief.
Okay, pal.
Thanks a lot, Slick.
Okay, Captain.
Thank you for calling, Holmes.
Okay. I love it when guys don't know that they're talking to us.
I don't think you needed to be that hot on that caller, Donnie.
A little blue there, weren't you guys?
Thought it was just a little bit dirty. Didn't like that at all.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Mike, Don, we're not here.
No.
But we have a pair of tickets now for you to take Ma to a special musical of her choice at Wolf Trap.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You can choose from Pirates of Penzance.
I love Gilbert and Sullivan.
Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Oh, that's a wonderful show.
I'm worried because you knew who did Pirates of Penzance.
I was in a Gilbert and Sullivan play back when I was gay.
And Riverdance.
Riverdance, I love that.
Or The Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
Win them right now. Call Slow Doughy Headed Joe at 1-800-636-1067. Be the 100th caller. This giveaway for Mom's Day, courtesy of wolftrap.org.
That's erotic.
What up, my yellow brothers? Jinx in the house!
And that All-Star game last night.
The home run hitting contest.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that a little bit. Here's what I'd like to say about that.
You're right about the uniforms.
Aren't those unis the queerest?
I don't understand what designer, you know, had some sort of Vietnam flashback when they were designing those. It was crazy.
I'm watching the coverage last night on ESPN. And now for being an event that I know a lot of people watch.
Yes.
Because everybody likes seeing Sosa and Maguire and Griffey hit the home runs.
Right. By and large, though, it has a boredom point to it.
But a lot of guys will tune in.
Yeah.
You know, just to see the greatest hitters in baseball get together. You would think that for such a broadcast that's going to reach a large audience, that ESPN would check the microphones and stuff before the broadcast?
ESPN, that is, in my opinion, the worst coverage of any sporting event I have ever seen in my life.
They had some guy sitting up in the stands with Ted Williams, who is kind of a... hold on a second. Who's calling on the hotline? Hello?
Hey, Dad.
Hey, bud.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, well, are you calling from Europe?
Yep.
Well, now, this was good timing. I was just mentioning your calls early this morning.
Oh.
And the Sugar Cube fight. How is your friend doing with the Sugar Cube?
He's great.
Good, okay.
He's good? Doing all right? He can see now?
Oh, yeah. Good. He's got medicine for it.
Got medicine for it.
So you really nailed him in the eye, huh?
I didn't mean to.
Yeah, of course you didn't mean to, but he's doing all right.
Jackson accident. Well, hey, I love you.
Love you, too.
I'm so glad that you called again.
Yeah, well, I got a group here, and they want to know if I can shave my head.
No, Barty, didn't Mommy and I already go over this with you?
Yeah, but it's the last night.
No, absolutely not. No head shaving. No.
Please?
No head shaving.
Reed, no.
No. No head shaving.
None?
No, I'm going to be pissed if you come back with your head shaved. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, end of discussion.
Okay.
Okay. Love you. See you tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, buddy. And there you go.
Now, question for you.
Because he's modern father.
Yes. Question, you know, because yours is so much older than mine are. And I just, now, your feelings right now. You 1,000% sure that he's not going to turn around and do it?
Of course not.
I didn't think so. I felt that when you were talking to him.
It's all a bluff.
Yeah.
When you're a parent, it's all a bluff. It's just like when he was a little kid.
Right.
Remember when Fried and I, when he would piss us off, he would act like Damien. We would go, one,
right,
two. Yeah. He never knew that if we ever got to three, the only thing that would come after that would be four, five, and six. Mm-hmm. He always thought that there was something bad that was going to happen after three.
You think, though, probably not. He won't do it. No, you kind of got the message across.
I don't think so. But it's obvious. You know, I heard the other kid in the background there. He's getting some peer pressure to shave his head.
A lot of it.
So anyway.
It's all about semantics.
Okay.
If it had been your dad at this end and that had been you in Europe.
I would never have called.
Ah.
I would have been one of the kids that would have been gone for 3 weeks and never would have called the parents one time.
Well, that's a good sign about Bart then, that he called.
Oh, no. I think he's a great kid.
Sure.
And I hope that he continues to be a great kid and doesn't shave his head. Plus, you know, if you shave your head in Germany, won't you look more like a neo-Nazi?
Yes.
Right, because you haven't done it
yes.
in Germany?
Yes, and, you know, Bart's kind of that fair-skinned complexion. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got that kind of blonde hair.
Very Aryan-looking. Yes, right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Where were we?
I don't know what we were talking about. We were talking about ESPN and their horrible coverage of the All-Star Game home run contest.
So they have Ted Williams, you know, the all-time great Red Sox hero. And he's kind of a curmudgeon to begin with who doesn't really want to be interviewed.
He's kind of a curmudgeon that, you know, hey, Ted. You know, you're a superstar. You're still making money. You still, you know, you're still one of the greatest players ever to play the game. Do something about the bottom row, okay? Maybe put a few fake teeth in there.
Pull a Regis.
God.
Pull a Jack Lemmon.
You ever see when he's interviewed and he's just like,
I wasn't even noticing his teeth because who was it that had the stands interview?
I forgot. I forgot who was up there.
Whoever it was, the microphone quality was like this. And because it's Ted Williams, and they don't want to piss Ted Williams off because he's finally doing an interview.
Right.
It's like nobody bothers to break in to say hello.
Right.
We can't hear a thing that you're saying.
Sure. Exactly.
It was Rich Eisen that was doing the interview with him.
It was just ridiculous, but the whole coverage.
But that's not the worst. The worst thing last night was that guy that we met at the Super Bowl, right? Stuart Scott.
A guy that believes he is central to the game, to the athletes, and he's a jerk.
So after the guys would do their home run contest, the home run derby, they would immediately go from taking their swings to standing by the on-deck circle where Stuart Scott would be there to interview them. And because the production values on ESPN were not real great.
Oh, they were horrible.
They would go right from the booth.
Right.
Chris Berman, who incidentally, right, said back, like, a million times too many.
It was so stupid. You know what they didn't understand? The actual act of watching a home run, especially watching a home run in a great ballpark like that. If they put cameras where you could, you know, follow the ball flight, instead of, like, getting shots of the idiots that were outside the Green Monster, like, tearing into each other, and they could just... Did you really get a good look at any of the home runs that were hit?
No.
In a regular game, and I certainly have watched enough regular games.
Yeah, you get a better angle just at a regular baseball game.
And instead, it's all the hype, and you know, and if Chris Berman one more time had to go.
Hey, Chris Berman, it's Chris Berman. My hemorrhoids are killing me. It's going to go all the way to Marblehead.
That one's to Connecticut.
Oh, God.
That one's to Rhode Island.
That one on the Mass Turnpike.
You know, it doesn't, these guys, Mark McGuire hit 13 home runs does not need any hype.
Right. Pretty great watching him hit them.
Amazing.
So these guys get done hitting their home runs, or lack thereof, and immediately they go to Stuart Scott. Well, because this is not a very organized broadcast, the guys in the booth, they don't give Stuart Scott and the producers a chance to get set with the player. They go, all right, Griffey's done. Let's go down to Stuart Scott. So the camera's on Stuart Scott, and you see the baseball player walk onto the set.
Right.
And then Stuart Scott, with every single baseball player, insisted on putting out his fist.
Yeah, hitting the fist like a teammate would do.
You know when ball players do something good and they do that to each other? Yeah, that's something that jocks do. That's not something that an ESPN guy to a baseball player.
I totally agree. It looked totally lightweight. It's Stuart Scott thinking he's more important than he is when he's just a broadcaster. He is not a player.
Mm-hmm. Every time a guy would come up, whether it be Bagwell, McGuire, Sosa, all these guys, that guy from Milwaukee who I never heard of who came in second.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, who was that guy?
Who knows?
Was he?
I never heard of him before.
I haven't either.
But he would do the same. The player would walk up, and Stuart Scott gives him his body language, like, yeah, you did it, man. Put out his fist, go. And then you would actually hear Stuart Scott say, all right, now you got to talk up. You got to talk up. You got to speak up. He go, hello, we're here with Jeff Bagwell.
Yeah, and then and the question's just trying so hard to be cool.
Stuart Scott.
Not trying to ask a decent question.
Too cool for school.
Just too cool for school and trying to ask the question that would be cool and not the question that would be appropriate to what the guy just did. You know, there was a time, really, when you know, you get the guys that were coming off the field and you give them just, you know, they're in their environment, you give him a little bit of respect instead of just trying to be. And
I never thought I'd be wishing for Tony Kubek or Joe Garage Door Opener.
But I know, but I tell you,
it's a little too much, right?
Vin Scully, Kurt Gowdy, the old guys did it differently. Right. It's not all this crap that we have to wade through.
Stuart Scott, my man.
Oh,
you're hitting it out of the park. Doing the thing with the fist and like bumping the guys in the formal, going, you're the man.
You know, and Chris Berman with all his jargon and all his jive ass commentary that's just so unnecessary. I think the home run contest is great. I think it's fantastic. I tell you, I really like the way they put the kids. They get certain kids that win contests
to play the outfield.
They get to play the outfield.
That's nice for them.
But I'll tell you something. just leave it alone. It's fun to watch guys hit home runs. There were no close-ups of the real close-ups of the pitchers. That these guys, they were talking about how they all brought their own pitchers.
They had some close-ups of McGuire, though.
Oh,
what is up with Mark McGuire's skin?
How come that guy was sitting there lying on the ground with that angle like here with that jowl?
Is that because of the steroids
the
or
endo.
What?
Yeah, it must be the endo.
I mean, he's got the vish skin. Mark McGuire's got the worst skin. Worse than Joe Torre. A million times worse than Pizza Face Torre.
That's from, like, when he was a young lad. That's
bad
from,
acne when he was in high school?
Those are acne scars. that is true.
He is the worst.
He's a scary-looking guy. I mean, I wouldn't want... Because he's got that fish face anyway, where he's kind of like...
He has kind of that Private Pile from Full Metal Jacket look in his eyes sometimes. Especially, did you see when he was up at the plate, and he would do that thing where he's concentrating, and he blinks, and he would frown.
Like he's an android or something. But I mean, when he hit the 13 home runs, you're right, that was the one time where I just got to a point with Chris Berman. There were like four home runs in a row where every single home run that was obviously a home run, Chris Berman had to go bang, 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 bang. And it just was, it's such garbage.
It was annoying,
garbage
man.
Sports. It really, it's gone too far. I hope the pendulum swings back a little bit.
It was annoying. All right, well, hold on. Here's some people I'll talk about that. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Buddy.
Hey, my brother was actually on that street behind the monster last night. I don't know if you guys have ever been up there.
Yeah, I've been up there. Street, I know exactly where it is.
It's all bars and stuff along that street.
Yeah, so, you know, it's the Fenway in there. It's the fence. It's nice.
And he said that people...
Nice.
Just,
it's not nice at all, actually. It's really kind of
It's
gross.
Awful. It's like around, around Wrigley Field. Remember when we went to Wrigley Field?
Same way as around Wrigley.
Like big ghetto around Wrigley Field. Everybody talks about Wrigleyville, about the comfortable atmosphere around Wrigley Field. Hell, when you go to Wrigley Field, you put your money down your underpants because you're so afraid you're going to be mugged on your way into the stadium.
Yeah, the old ballparks are in the nasty parts of town.
Right.
He said last night at the game, he said people were just beating the crap out of each other to catch those home run balls.
Yeah, it looked like it because it was so crowded behind the monster.
A girl got one, like a teenage girl, and a guy walked up and just punched her right in the face and took the ball from her.
Welcome to Boston. All right, thank you, my friend.
No problem.
All right, goodbye.
Tell the tourists that we're coming in, Don.
Yeah, not native Bostonians.
Somebody said that at one point, too. You know, when somebody ran out on the field, you know, somebody made a comment about that. You know, it's obviously somebody visiting from another town.
The people from Boston are so good-natured.
Hey, Starica!
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, buddy.
Buddy.
Mike, buddy. What's up, fellas?
Hey.
Nothing more haunting than somebody parking in your parking space. Definitely the only way to take care of it is taking a big fatty dump right in their driver's seat.
Okay, thank you.
All right, spoken like somebody who might have done that before.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Well, that would teach her a lesson.
That's for sure.
That sure would.
Especially if she didn't notice it before she got in.
Hey, Rob, go take a dump in Brett's Sparkles. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you guys are talking about ESPN's coverage of the Home Run Derby, and I don't know if you guys saw, but when McGuire just hit that bomb down the left field line over the lights.
Right.
Well, you know how that, like you guys were saying, their cameras, they go to the people standing behind there. And
right, stupid.
Exactly.
And you couldn't see the ball. I mean, they completely lose the flight of the ball.
You see, Buzz, when Mark McGuire would hit a home run,
right,
rather than stay on the shot of inside the baseball stadium to see the ball going up, 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 and over, they would cut to a shot of outside
where they were, you know, and then
thousands of people, like at a British soccer match outside.
And they were down, like, behind the green monster. So I think in many cases, the balls he was hitting, Mark McGuire, those balls were going over the people, you know? And you just couldn't see. I'd love to see the ball flight. I'd really. And don't they have, in like the World Series and the playoffs, don't they have actually isolated cameras sometimes?
Sure.
Where you get a guy that says his one job is to follow the ball.
Of course. And I'm sure they had it last night, too.
Yeah, it just sucks.
They just don't use it.
No, it's terrible.
Well, there was one last night where he hit it out, and then the camera goes to behind the wall, and they're showing all these people scramble to get it, right?
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of funny. There's, you know, 30 people on the ground fighting for this thing. Well, along comes this dude with a camera on his shoulder, right?
Oh, he knocks over the kid.
He knocks over the kid.
I saw that.
He knocks the kid over. Then you're like, oh, my God, that guy just knocked that kid over. So you're like, okay, he's going to walk around him. Hell no, the guy put it into four-wheel drive and ran right over.
Walks right over. I remember exactly.
He wanted to get his baseball.
Yeah. No, he's getting
hilarious.
A shot. He wanted to get a shot of it.
Oh, is that what he was doing?
Cameraman with a camera, with a shoulder pack on his camera. He walks over like a 10-year-old.
Please wait. We're going to get into that, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, I promise.
We had so much fun with that yesterday.
A whole segment to that. Please just cool your jets for a second.
That was somebody that had such a good time at yesterday's party, he wants to start right up again.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. We'll get into it, I promise. Hello.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi.
Back to Chris Berman. Is that guy ever going to join the ranks of Frank Gifford here pretty quick? I mean, his time is limited, right?
No way. He's going to be around for a while.
Well, Chris Berman's only like in his mid-40s, I think.
You know, he always picks the 49ers every year for the Super Bowl, and why does he do that?
I always feel like...
Well, there's nothing wrong with a guy picking the same team every year for the Super Bowl.
When I listen to Chris Berman, I really always feel like I'm listening to a guy who's faking it. I'm listening to a guy who really isn't a sports fan, where it's really his job, and he just tries to create so much jargon, and it's just kind of fake.
I think he's evolved into that. I think at one point.
Yeah, at one point he was a good guy. I mean, he was fun to watch.
Before he sold out, before he started doing commercials and stuff. Before
he came the personality.
Before I think he felt the pressure like all those ESPN guys do.
Right, to be stick.
To not simply be there calling the game, that they had to all have their funny lines ready, you know, do a little dance, make a little glove.
Now, how many times in the home run derby do you say, that ball's in the harbor?
Yeah, I know. And in that fake accent where he goes, the harbor.
You know one thing that was great, though? Did you hear when they would have guys mic? Guys would have mics. Like when Jeff Bagwell was up, the guy for Houston, when he would swing, he'd swing and he'd hit like one just past second base. He'd go, F! F! And, you know, on ESPN, they make no mention of that. That's the fact that you hear a guy screaming the F word out.
The Milwaukee guy did it at one point, and I'm not sure who was doing the color commentary, but he said, hey, it's all right, it's cable.
Oh, really?
The Milwaukee guy went,
well, at least he addressed it.
Oh, S. Well, it was so loud and so clear. He just went, oh, S.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Nomar Garcia Parra.
Right.
No home runs, too.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
I wanted to check if you guys caught Mike Piazza doing the commentary.
Yeah, that's who said it, I think. Mike Piazza is the one that might have said it's cable.
Oh, really? Well, that would make more sense. And the ball player's up there and said something that everybody was really thinking, but not one of the ESPN
Piazza
guys.
Piazza wasn't all that bad, actually, I thought.
I think Piazza was better than Chris Berman.
I agree.
Berman has to go back to doing the NFL, where he can climb up in Thurman Thomas's butt and talk about the Bills every fall.
There's a lot of hatred out there for Mr. Chris Berman.
The thing I liked about Mike Piazza was that he was real, like, mellow, and he had some interesting things to say, and then he was just, he wasn't overselling it like all the, and there you have the guy that's been there, that's done it.
Mike Piazza gets some stink. Do you know that? He gets some major league stink.
Yeah, he looks like those shorts would be pretty stinky, too, after a day's game.
I tell you, he's with some pretty hot girls.
Yeah, of course.
You ever see him in the tabloids and stuff?
Ever since he did those shampoo commercials.
Hello, Don and Mike. Last call. Hello there.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I was watching that thing last night that Chris Berman was driving me so crazy that I turned it on mute. And it was actually a great show watching it during mute.
Sure. Probably a good idea.
Yeah, except if you have closed captioning, you would still see on the screen, back.
That would actually break the fingers on the person that's doing the stenography for that, Back, and then just go, will you shut up?
Hey, in Detroit, since they really airing you guys, like they're airing the show, but they're not pumping you guys up much, you got a t-shirt or something I can wear around town to get the word out that you guys are here?
What?
It's an interesting way to ask for a t-shirt. They're not pumping us up on the station in Detroit, so you're asking for a t-shirt to promote the show.
Well, I already got
everybody at work.
We don't have any t-shirts. We have nothing. The show is no budget. That's our mantra.
Man, I want to get the word out, and if your station ain't going to do it.
What you want to do is get two pieces of plywood and, just tie them together with rope, drill a hole in the top, and make a sandwich board.
Sandwich board. All right, thank you, my friend. Thank you. All right, goodbye. Well, we're getting some love from Detroit, there's no doubt about it.
We certainly are.
We're getting some love from that city. Listen, we're up on a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, it's hard. We're cutting a commercial.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
The Don and Mike Show.
Mike?
Don.
I'm going to need your help here.
Okay, I'm with you.
You know when I read that slug and I always play the tape that said, someone call for a doctor?
Yes.
I don't have that tape.
Okay,
you ready?
Yep.
This segment brought to you by Veramax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer. It's doctor developed.
Did someone call for a doctor?
And clinically tested. Veramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Veramax, 1-888 try VMAX.
Someone call for a doctor?
Mike, we're not here today.
No, we're not, Don.
But next week, we're giving away $500 from Cinemax so you can buy $500 worth of bubble gum.
Yes, gum. They're giving away gum. A Premier Network giving away gum to you.
You can buy black socks if you want.
Mm-hmm.
It says buy a TV, but you could buy anything you want.
I'd like to buy foil.
Cinemax is the ultimate in movie entertainment. Exclusive Hollywood premieres, the biggest hit movie variety, and the fewest repeats on premium TV. For more info, go to Cinemax.com. Mike?
Yes, Don.
As you know, we're not here right now.
We are definitely not here.
But Joe's here. Hi, Joe.
Howdy.
Joe, be the 100th caller right now for Mother's Day and tell everybody what they win.
Call right now and you will win a Carrabba's Italian Grill gift certificate. You have won a $45 gift certificate to Carrabba's Italian Grill. Celebrate Mother's Day at Carrabba's. They open at 11 a.m. on Mother's Day. Carrabba's, it's not your typical Italian.
Can you read? Be the 100th caller at 800-636-1067 or 877-365-3636. Hello, yes, Joe? Nice suit.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, listen, a couple of things have changed.
Yes?
In the last 10 minutes since I came down from the office.
Okay.
First, we don't go on in Ocean City today. We don't go on there till Friday.
All right.
Which means right now my mother-in-law is probably lying on the floor telling my father-in-law to dial 911.
What, the station have a little problem with some high winds or anything like that?
I don't, you know, I'm always the last to know, which means you're always the next to last to know.
That's right. That's
right. I don't know. Just as I came in the studio, right, when I put my headphones on, Rob said, oh, yeah, incidentally, the Ocean City station doesn't start till Friday.
Did you know about the ratings party being canceled before you came in?
No, that was,
I didn't either.
That was the other thing. No. And
it's pretty obnoxious, if you ask me. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd already taken the preemptive strike of inviting my wife, who always bitches that she never gets to come to these shindigs.
Right.
I'd already invited her. She got her hair dyed yesterday and all the stuff that she does.
Right.
Came in today, and I thought, look at this. All that preemptive stuff, it's all for Dick because they moved the ratings party.
That is really obnoxious.
Just 1 week, and it's because Mr. Liddy's not in, back in town yet, and because one of or two of the junkies couldn't make it. But next week, everybody can go. So isn't that great?
Well, I think I might stiff it next week. By next week.
I'm not motivated. Yeah. I was in full party, Monday party regalia.
You know, I'll be honest with you. This is such a what have you done for me lately business.
Sure.
That really, by now, the great ratings that we had last week, they've
nobody cares.
They've worn off.
Right.
I'm back to hating life again already.
But
and,
I actually
and
was
by next Monday.
Oh, right.
Oh, it's not going to forget it. I'm going to forget those ratings ever came out.
I was really, actually, I don't know, for the sun, the moon, and whatever, I was kind of looking forward to this one. Mm-hmm. A lot of them I'm not looking forward to, and this one I was looking forward to. And I must say that when I saw that on the door, I was very disappointed.
Yes.
I was because for two reasons. You know, first of all, it was the right time for it, and second of all, don't change something, you know, at the last second, which is really what it is.
Right.
I mean, we all kind of come in here and we're ready for our day, and they
I wore real guy clothes today.
Mm-hmm. So did I. I was
oh,
really
please.
Nice t-shirt, Mike.
Yeah, I'm wearing a real button-down shirt. I got real pants on and everything today. You know what I mean?
I'm wearing my underwear.
I even comb my hair on the side. Normally, just kind of let it all go down in the middle of that Planet of the Apes look. Really, I tried to sculpt my hair today. I had to come in today, and there's the note from the gerbil saying, oh, party's next week.
Hmm. Boom.
Right, so first thing, let me call my mother-in-law.
She's going to be very upset that we're not on in Ocean City.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't she listen, though, with, like, foil stuck to the chimney or something like that?
Somehow she gets the Baltimore station all the way in Ocean City.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Hello. Hey, it's me. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Well, see, I tell you. We don't go on until Friday.
Oh, until Friday?
Friday.
Okay. Were you looking forward to listening to the show today?
Yeah, I hadn't realized that it was 3 o'clock yet. But, that was my... What?
That's blasphemy. I thought every day at 3 o'clock that you went out and sat in your car so you could listen on the Baltimore station.
Well, I can listen in the house, and if it's stormy, we get static, but other than that, it's, you know, it's not bad. I can hear most of it. I can hear all the things said. How are you, Mike?
I'm wonderful, Frida. How are you doing?
I'm just fine. I'm glad to hear everything's well.
Everything's going just great.
Yeah. Well, I'm so proud of the ratings.
Thank you. We're very excited about
She's
that.
She's a good mother-in-law. I tell you what, she drives my wife crazy because my mother-in-law really does kiss my ass behind my back all the time.
Your mother-in-law, as long as I have known your mother-in-law has always been your friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's on my side.
Always.
Yeah, she's on my side. We had a problem. Things I would have this weekend. You know, we bought that jet ski about a month ago.
Right.
We were going to take it out this weekend, and it would not start.
Right.
So I got mad, of course. I threw my aqua shoes across the garage, and I started to pout. And I said, oh, we're going to have to take this piece of garbage back to the dealer. And
right.
It sucks. And my mother-in-law came over, and she said, did you check the spark plug? And right away, I turned on her. I said, listen, I checked everything. It's a brand new vehicle. It's got 10 hours on it. I said, the spark plug is fine. It was my way of saying, you know, go back to your side of the yard.
Go back to your side
of the yard. He didn't say it mean. He said, yes, I've checked it. I've checked the spark plug.
Well, took it all the way to Delaware to the place we bought it.
Oh, no.
We get up there. First thing the guy says, oh, look, It's your spark plug. That's the reason it wouldn't work.
Was it fouled or was it just loose or something?
No, it was like from taking it out of the ocean, it had sand and salt in it. And
right.
The guy said if
so it was fouled.
If you would have just taken a rag
right.
and wiped off the end of it and put it back in, it would have started right up.
Or a fingernail file sometime.
Yeah, so she's very handy.
So for your daughter gets the handiness from you, is that true? I mean, it sounds like you know your way around an engine.
Well, you know, I've driven cars for a long time. And
that's where she gets it. It's obvious that's where she gets it.
So we come back, and my mother-in-law, of course, you know, is patrolling in front of the house waiting for us to get back.
I don't know about that.
That's one of the first things I said to her. You know, she came over to, I believe she came over to tell me it was about to rain outside.
Right.
Okay.
You know, to get those warnings.
That's one of the things she does.
It's very thoughtful.
He leaves books and papers out where he sits and reads on his back deck.
So. I said, listen, Big Freedy, you know what? You're absolutely right. It was the spark plug. I said, you were right. You know, how about that? And then later, I got it back from both my son and from my wife. And my mother-in-law thought that was like such a gracious thing to do. I didn't think it was so gracious just to tell you that you were right about the spark plug.
Oh, he didn't have to volunteer that, and I thought that was really sweet. Most people aren't that thoughtful, you know, to tell someone they're right. If they get asked, maybe they'll tell them.
She's in your corner.
To volunteer.
Yeah, I know it.
That's cool.
That's why, you know, because he knows you're in his corner. That's why he told you that.
Well,
if you thought you weren't in his corner, no way he would have told you.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
You know, I don't care what they say. He's a great guy.
Oh, there you go.
There's a ringing endorsement.
There it is.
All right, Big Freedy.
Well, thank you for letting me know then. All right. I won't get upset when I can't get upset. Right.
Listen on Friday.
All right, honey.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye-bye.
And I heard that honey in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh, honey. Oh,
all right. Honey.
Honey.
Check the spark plug, honey.
Check it, honey. You got to hear what she calls me, son.
Son.
Right. Hello, right. Son, would you mind getting us the newspaper? Son.
She's your mom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what she is. And she's in your corner. And really, that is the reason you told her that. And then she acknowledges you telling her that, saying it was a gracious thing. Yeah. And it is a gracious thing to admit when you're wrong.
No, she was right, though. She was 100% right. And I felt like a super idiot at this place because I was talking to, you know, the inbred guy that fixes these things, the guy that's got like four teeth in his mouth, mm-hmm. and they're all going different ways, and he's got tattoos all over himself, you know, and I'm there wearing, I don't know, like an Austin Powers t-shirt or something. I feel so gay. I'm already out of my element because I'm not a man's man.
You're in a garage. You're in a mechanics environment.
You know, it's like, here I am with my pretty hands, my dove hands, and his hands, obviously, you know, dirt under the fingernails and everything. And I said, listen, I don't know what's wrong with this machine. It will not work. It will not work. He lifts up the top and he goes, did you clean the spark plug? I said, it's a brand new spark plug. He said, nope, here's your problem. Watch this. Takes out a rag, wipes it off, puts it back in.
You're good to go. How long was the drive between?
45 minutes.
Oh, boy.
It's a long drive. God. Oh, and the other thing, this is not just me being stupid, my wife being stupid, too. When we pulled up to this place to have the guy tell us it was just a spark plug,
right.
When he first came around to the trailer that we had the jet ski on, he said, well, you guys are lucky. I said, why are we lucky? He said, look, you don't have the hitch actually attached to the back of your truck. You guys drove all the way up here, and this thing could have gone flying off at any moment. And both my wife and I said, oh, no. No, we hooked it up correctly. We hooked this thing up all the time. And the guy goes down and just puts one finger on the big metal ball, and boing, the thing popped in the air.
You didn't even flip the handle over?
No, the handle was over it.
But you didn't have it attached.
It wasn't clamped all the way. But it lost like it was clamped all the way.
Sparks and like dragging him back, and you look, there's your jet skis are like a mile in back of you.
I know. We're just idiots, man. We're just idiots. So we're not on an OC today, and we're not having the big ratings party tonight.
Bummer! Ooh.
And I hate whoever invented Parcheesi.
Really?
That's the other thing I want to mention. That for whatever reason, this weekend, my family was kooky about playing Parcheesi, and I played, and every time we played, I got my ass handed to me.
I wouldn't even remember how to play Parcheesi.
I mean, I didn't just lose at Parcheesi. I got killed at Parcheesi, and I want to find the Chinaman or whoever it is that made up this game that decided when you take somebody's little wood circle.
Isn't that little thing with a nipple on it?
No.
No?
No. Are you thinking of Chinese checkers?
No, I don't know.
Parcheesi is the game that has four different colored little round circles, and you move them around this board, and if you land on somebody,
right,
you put them back in the beginning, and you get to move an extra 20 spots around the board.
It's a dice game, right?
Well, you roll the dice to find out how many you're going to go.
Okay. Right.
Oh, it's maddening. I'd like to find Mr. Parcheesi and kill him.
Johnny Parcheesi.
Because we played the game on Saturday night, and I got hosed.
Right.
We played it again on Sunday night. I got hosed. We played it again later on Sunday night because I hate to lose the stupid game, and I got hosed again. All my strategy, mm-hmm. every time, just came back to bite me in the ass. Every time that I would go in front of my wife or my son in this right. game, all they would have to do, I think I got a 1 in 6 chance that I'm safe. If I'm 3 spots in front of them, I think, well, right. you know, what are the odds that my wife's going to roll a 3?
Right.
Well, of course, right away, boom, big 3. Daddy back to the beginning. Got it. And then she gets to move an extra 20.
That's a cool game. I remember that I liked the game. I don't remember how to play it, but I remember that I liked it.
It's
not a complex game, right?
No. Well, no, it's not. It's a very simple game.
But even with all your strategies, it's pretty much...
It's a simple game.
It's a game of chance. It's a game of luck.
Right.
Yeah, and I had no luck. I got killed. I got her up the butt every time we played Parcheesi this
weekend. It's good, though. It's the spirit of competition. You'll come back for more.
It was awful. No, we won't come back for more this time. I broke the board in half.
You didn't.
No, I didn't.
You don't. It's good that you do that. That's good family fun to play the board games and do that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know. It's overrated, man.
Next is Yahtzee.
I just want to tell you, it's all this family stuff, it's overrated. Because I'm always the big loser when we play the family games.
You win the Parcheesi, you get a free spark plug. You know, that's
it. I can tell you the latest kick my wife is on from this weekend. You know, Miss New Age.
Right.
Here's a new thing. Have you ever heard of feng shui?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Jeremy Coleman has feng shui up in his office. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she's reading a book. We're on the beach on Saturday. She's reading a book about feng shui.
Right.
And when my wife reads a book...
Order is what it is. It's all about order. Right.
She just can't read a book. She's got to read a page. Mm-hmm. Then she's got to give me a lecture on the page that she's just read.
Here's what it says on this page, that if we were to move our garage around...
Ah, this hold on. What? Are you spying on me or something?
No.
Here is the whole point. She says to me that our basement is a mess.
Right.
That we've got to, like, call Salvation Army to get the old stuff out. We've got to get the basement cleaned
sure.
up. And I said to her, fine, mm-hmm. you know, do it. Mm-hmm. But she's reading this book. And on every page, there's something else about feng shui that she goes, oh, I can't believe I'm so into this. This book is so right. And finally, right. I said to her at one point, I said, listen, honey, put the book down. You need to read a book for affirmation that you should clean out the basement? I said, if you want to clean the basement, go ahead and clean the basement.
Yeah, I said, feng shui right here.
Yeah, I said, why do you need a book about feng shui to give you the affirmation, to give you all the courage you need to clean the basement? If you want to clean the basement,
right.
clean the basement. If you don't want to clean the basement, don't clean the basement.
What is feng shui basically that open spaces are good, right?
That's a lot of it. It's something about energy flowing through, and I'm not sure I buy into all of this. Frida gave Marcia and I a book on feng shui, and we've tried to implement some of it. In fact, I spent a lot of the weekend doing that very thing. It's not just about cleaning stuff out. It's about order, like you said, Mike, and how you arrange things, and it's supposed to, theoretically, give you better luck and more success if you use it.
You know what it is?
It's in Larry Sanders, too. Larry Sanders you know, has right. feng shui in there.
It's useless crap. That's what it is. I mean, if you want to clean your closet...
Just clean it.
Right.
Right. Like, you got to read a book from Mr. Shui?
I got your feng shui idea
here. You know, from the funger?
Just get a U-Haul. You get it all out of there.
Clean it.
That helps.
If you want to clean your basement, clean it. If you don't want to clean the basement, don't clean it. But you got to spend $15 to read a book about it.
Clean it and dump it. Go on, get. Shoo.
Right, now shoo. Shoo. And then that got into a whole discussion about my wife says, because, you know, we have our wedding anniversary coming up in a couple of weeks.
Right.
18 years. And she says... What are you going to get me for our anniversary? And I said, I've got some ideas.
Right.
She said, you know what a good gift would be? And I said, what? And she said, you take care of the basement. And I said...
Awful gift.
I said, you don't want that. That's not a present. You don't want me to. That's not really a present.
Right.
And then she said, get this. Here's another thing she'd like. A washer and dryer. I said, I can imagine the boatload of crap I'm going to be taking for the rest of my life because I gave you a washer and dryer for our anniversary. And she said, no, it's really what I want. Well, you know what else I like? I'd like some new pots and pans for the kitchen. I said, this is like an episode of The Twilight Zone.
She's turning into Harriet.
You are telling me that it's okay to go and buy you a washer and dryer
right
for our anniversary? I said, okay.
Latch onto that one as soon as you can.
I said, consider it done.
Absolutely. Put a big bow on it and you're set. Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
By the way, I think it's important to point out, especially with all the things that have gone on lately, that Marcia and I are celebrating our 24th wedding anniversary today.
Oh, well, wow.
We start our 25th year today, if you can believe
it. Show off.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Because you're like two geese.
I want to get her a washer and dryer.
The two of you are like two geese together.
Since we're all doing this, I'd like to say that Laura and I are celebrating our 35th wedding anniversary.
You're a freaking liar. Your wife's not even 35 years old.
And to be one-upped, here he is. Go ahead, Rob.
Hello, Robbie.
Actually, it's next week, but Carrie and I are getting divorced. So.
Yeah.
But then reality struck back today.
Right.
Okay, when we were coming back from the beach, my wife said, you know what I'd really like? I said, what? I thought you already told me. You want a washer and a dryer. She said, no, you know what I'd like? I'd like you to write me a poem.
Oh, no.
I said, no, you don't want me to write you a poem. She goes, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so you're telling me I come to you with nothing? I just give you a poem that I wrote and that's good? She said, yeah, or like plan a very romantic night out for the two of us. Like, oh, now the washer and dryer sounded fantastic to me.
See, but the poem only works if it's a complete surprise. The poem will only work. The poem doesn't work if she says, write me a poem, right. And then the poem becomes a task. The poem has to be from the heart, totally spontaneous, and now anything else, what you have to do, if you want, if she wants one of those
roses
romantic
are red,
things,
violets are blue, here's a washer and dryer for you.
There you go, you've already written the poem. So you can put that on the washer and dryer. That kind of stuff only works when it's a surprise.
Right.
The whole thing about romantic stuff, it's the element of surprise. It's the woman not expecting it.
I could take you out for a dinner and dance, but here's a washer and dryer. Clean the stain out of my underpants. None of those poems would work. I'm positive.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so it was quite a weekend.
Good luck.
Quite a weekend. Feng shui. Oh, look at the feng shui set. Well, it's to clean the basement. Furthermore, I'm one of those people, I don't want to get rid of the stuff in the basement. All the stuff we've got in the basement,
right.
It's there for a reason. We might need it someday. I don't like getting rid of the old stuff.
For years and years, you're the woman I dug. Now help me please clean this dirty spark plug. There you go. That's romantic.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Who knows if we'll even make it to the 18th.
Yeah, of course you will.
Sorry, we're out of time.
When we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next